Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Father, we praise your awesome name. There is no one like you. There never has been and there never will be. Father, you know all things. You are everything to us. You're the beginning and the end. Father, I thank you that you are unfolding your plans and your purposes. Father, I thank you that you have brought us into your purpose, into your family, into your body, the church. Father, I thank you that you purchased us with the blood of Jesus, that a transaction took place on that wooden cross. And Jesus, you hung there. You became sin so that we might be forgiven. Jesus, you demonstrated the mercy of God by hanging there on a tree and shouted and proclaimed for all time that there is no other God. That there is no other way to salvation. That the only way to know the Father is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That there is no other God. There is no other Son. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ, the living God, because you rose from the dead 3 days later, proclaiming, shouting the victory that was won on the cross. That we now live in 24 hours a day, every day of the week. That you have established your victory through the way of the cross. And that we can live in the power of your salvation, the power of your goodness. We thank you that that victorious life that was won on the cross, you put into our lives so that we can live a victorious life in you, overcoming every scheme of the devil, over every attack of the enemy, over every circumstance that shouts no to the promises of God, that you've given us victory over those things. Father, we praise your awesome name for your Holy Spirit that you have poured out upon us, that you have filled us with and baptized us with, that you have given us the spirit of life, the spirit of truth, the spirit of faith, the spirit of grace, the spirit of being made whole in Christ. The Holy One lives in us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. That you've called us to be a holy people. You've called your church to be a holy church. You've called us to be a holy people with a mandate from heaven to live our lives on earth, living kingdom life, this holy life, to see multitudes in the valley of decision come right through, souls being saved, society being turned around from being a godless vacuum to a God-filled place where you reside and you dwell. Father, we thank you that now is the time. Today is the day. That this is the Kairos time. The appointed time of your favor, of your salvation on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you you've appointed us at this time to be heralds, to be ambassadors, to be reconcilers, to carry the good news of the gospel of the kingdom into every sphere of life. I thank you for the grace and the enabling of your Holy Spirit to be obedient, to humble ourselves, to give space for your power to come and to move afresh through our lives. Father, I thank you that this morning is a new beginning. This is a new start today. Father, I thank you that barrenness and infertility in the spirit is broken today, is shattered today, is overcome today. Where there's been a barrenness in the harvest, I thank you that today is the end of that barrenness. A line is drawn in the spirit, as it were. Father, I thank you that our lives are carriers of who you are. They're like wombs of your life that is carried, and then you bring to birth things. And Father, I thank you that where there's been any barrenness in the wombs of our lives, in the spiritual aspect of our lives that has hindered your life and has squashed your life or come against your life in any way and stopped it from growing and bringing to birth what you want to do. Father, forgive us, but work in us. And I thank you for the breaking of barrenness and the release of new life this morning. We're going to give a shout of praise in Isaiah 54. God speaks to the nation of Israel and uses the picture of a barren woman. And he says, sing, O barren woman. He says, shout aloud. Cry out, sing a song, proclamation, a declaration by faith. Where you see nothing, make a declaration. Where you're supposed to keep silent, rise up with a loud shout that says, today is the day, now is the time of your favor. This is it now, today, the release of your purposes. Barrenness is broken, infertility is shattered, and the release of God's abundant life in a new way today, from this day forward. Father, we praise your name. We praise your name, Jesus. Jesus, wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. Father, I thank you just for the total privilege it is of being sons of God. That it's the most valuable thing that is on the planet. To be a container, a carrier, a vessel. That you have put what can't be counted in terms of value by us. It's off the scale. And you have put your life in us. The most precious. Everlasting. Incredible. Life-changing life. You put in us. Father, help us to see today the value, the precious nature of your life. What that means, what that looks like today on this earth. In a society that is shouting and proclaiming so many different things. People looking for their position of influence and their place of power and their opportunity to air their opinion and their philosophy and their lifestyle, their persuasion in whatever it might be. Father, let us see in a fresh way what we have, what we carry, who you are. And the power of that in amongst the shouts and the voices and the arguments and the manipulations and the agendas and the controlling and everything that's out there. The life and the power of what we have and what that then can do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is arresting us this morning. He's arresting us. The great thing about when God arrests, you know, when somebody gets arrested, they get handcuffed. They're arrested. They're taken hold of. But they're bound and restricted. But when God arrests us, he gets a hold of us. And when somebody who's been arrested by the police, they get charged with a crime that they've committed. But when God arrests us and grabs hold of us, he gives us a charge. But he doesn't charge us and say, you're guilty. That's why Jesus came, so that God doesn't have to charge us with guilt and shame. But instead, God charges us with his commission, with his heart, with his purpose, with what he wants to do on earth as it is in heaven. And we're going to look at what our charge is today as a people. God arresting us in a fresh way, taking hold of us, and then the charge that he gives us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just before you sit down, just talk to the Lord for a moment. Ask him to take hold of you today. Ask him to arrest you today. Ask him to charge you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Do you want to take a seat? Cool. You got your Bibles? Do you want to turn to 1 Corinthians? We're going to look at chapters 5 and 6 at the beginning. I spent a couple of days just away with the Lord last Sunday, sort of evening and Monday, and just wanted to spend some time with the Lord, but I knew he wanted to speak to me about some things, and not just personally, but also for us as a church, as a people. And, you know, when you take time out like that, God is going to speak to you, especially when he instigates that time. And I just want to share some things with you this morning. And we're going to pray and shatter anything that the enemy tries to do to stop us from moving into this whole next generation of time. And we're going to just unfold some of this stuff in a minute. But as I was praying when I was away, God began to talk to me about some things in my own life and not just issues, but just things he's saying to me and various things. And I said to the Lord, I said, can you just sum that up then? What does all that mean? Sum it up in a sentence. And we know as Kingdom Faith, the history of Kingdom Faith is to be a people of revival. And there's been times during that history of the last 28, 30 years or so or more where there's been seasons of what you call genuine revival and what God has done, and then the fruit of that that's come after those times. And that is part of our mandate, to be a revived people or people of revival or a revival people or whatever. And as I was kind of just writing some things down and praying, I was kind of saying, God, you know, we need to know now in 2009, in a fresh way, what your mandate upon us, so that it's like, that's it. This is what we're called to. This is what we're giving our lives to. And God said to me, he said, your mandate is revival for a generation. Now, we use that phrase and we've used that before. And if I asked you what is our vision and what's our call and everything, we'd all come out with lots of things. And the word revival would come in there somewhere, I hope. But when I was there, God just said, your mandate is revival for a generation. And then he gave me another line with that, to turn the tide of a godless society. That's what it looks like at the end of the day. You know, to see revival for a generation isn't just having great meetings. There's got to be an outworking of a revived people and what that means. And God said to see revival for a generation is to see a godless society changed and transformed. And you know, we can say all kinds of things about that. But there was just this burning in me. It's like, you know, a generation, not just for an age group, for a generation of time. And a generation, biblically, is 40 years. And we've had, as Kingdom Faith, a whole generation of time where that undergirding, that DNA, is to see revival, to be a people of revival, and everything that that means in terms of being a people of holiness, being a people of faith, being a people of love, being a people of obedience, being a people who are seeking God, meeting God, encountering God, being a people who want to know God, you know, as well as seeing God move, being a people who want to know who He is. And we don't just want to know Him when we go to heaven and when we, you know, are there for eternity. We want to know Him now on earth. As He is in heaven, and He wants to reveal more of who He is. And for there to be within us just a tenaciousness, a desire, a longing, a passion daily, every day to say, Jesus, I want to know You more. Reveal more of who You are to me. Show me more of who You are. Ignite the life of who You are more in me. I want to live in the way that You've called me to. I want to live in obedience. I want to walk in holiness. I want to see Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And this kind of, you know, God has called us to see revival for a generation. And so God wants to turn the heat up this morning in our lives, and for there to be a greater release, not just of passion, which we might connect with emotion, but a greater depth of longing and hunger, desire to know Him, to stretch ourselves out before Him so that His weightiness can come upon us, His glory can come upon us, so that we live in this dynamic of life where every day it's like we're not just doing our usual thing with a bit of prayer time over here, but there's a longing deep within us that is saying, Jesus, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. I don't want to see how close I can walk to sort of how I want to live, but see You do all that You want to do. But actually, how far away can I live and walk from all this stuff, and how close can I walk with You? So that more of who You are can be released through my life and through us as a church, as a people. And as He was talking to me, He began to talk to me from this 2 Corinthians chapter, the end of chapter 5, the beginning of chapter 6. And God was just saying to me, Clive, He said, now is the time. Today is the day. He began to talk to me about today. And in different translations, it either says today or this is the day or now is the time. It depends how it's been translated. But in the NIV, it talks about in the time of, or in the day of, more of that kind of sense in the NIV. But God began to talk to me, and He said, but today is the day of this seeing revival for a generation. And God was just stirring in me a fresh passion, longing, desire, hunger, tenacity, pursuit, really, in my own life, in my own thinking, in my own heart and spirit for Him, but also for His purpose and what He wants to do. And but God was talking about today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of my favor. And let's just look at some things in here for a moment. And at the end of 2 Corinthians 5, first of all, if you look from verse 11 onwards, the head of that part is called the ministry of reconciliation. And but if we just look a bit further down from verse 17, because of what Jesus has done, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Well, that is the mercy of God. I've lost my place. Where are we? And He has committed to us this ministry of, or this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. That's awesome. God is making His appeal through us. So Jesus didn't come on earth and stay on the earth, because He could still be alive now walking on the earth. But that wasn't the will of the Father. The will of the Father was for Jesus to come, to live, to lay His life down, to become sin so that we could be forgiven and made whole, for us to come into relationship. Jesus went up to heaven. He sent His Holy Spirit. And so God is making His appeal through us as the church. And we implore you, therefore, on Christ's behalf. So Paul's kind of interceding. We're imploring you guys on Christ's behalf here. Be reconciled to God. Walk with God. Remain in Him. Stick to what you know is right. Pursue what God has called you to. Live in the grace, live in the purpose, live in the hope, live in everything that God has given you and laid his life down for you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Not the self-righteousness of ourselves, but the righteousness of God on earth. Because God is making his appeal through us. That's awesome. So he says, you're my righteousness on earth. So you're my walking and living, tangible touch of God on earth for people that don't know me. Wow, what an awesome responsibility. But then look at the first verse of the next chapter. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Wow, he's urging these guys, look at what God has done. Look at what he's poured out. Look at what you've received. Look at what you have. Look at the inheritance. Look at the richness. Look at the abundance. Look at the grace. Look at everything that God has so lavished upon you. And he says, as fellow workers, as joint heirs, as those that are ambassadors, reconcilers, as those that are running with the things of God, as fellow workers, we urge you, we intercede for you, we contend for you, we encourage you to not receive God's grace in vain. Don't just leave it. Don't just let it sit there. Just leave it and do nothing with it. Grab hold of the fullness of everything that I've done, everything that I've put in you. Grab hold of what Christ is in you and who he is. And don't do something vain with it, but move in the grace of God. Because look at what it says next. In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And then Paul says, but I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And now is that day of salvation. This is it. You look really excited this morning. Just turn to somebody next to you, give them a good shove. See, Paul reminds them of what was written in Isaiah. And he says, this is from Isaiah. In the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. But it's not just something that Isaiah wrote back then. Paul was now saying to these guys, but you've got to remember, today, I tell you, now is the appointed time. Now is the Kairos time. Now is the appointed time of God's favor. And now is the appointed time, the Kairos time for his salvation today. This is it. And God was speaking to me and saying, this is the day. Today is the day. And he gave me all sorts of things of what is the day for. But as he was talking to me about this, he also said, but the enemy has been out to try and abort or thwart my purposes as you come into this new season or new generation of time. And then he spoke to me from Isaiah 54, if you just want to turn there. Now, these are very, very well read, trodden, preached through, prayed through, whatever. Everybody would probably be able to quote the first 3, 4, 5 verses out of this chapter. It's one of the most used kind of things in certain situations. But he began to speak to me and he said, today is this day of favor. Today is your day. Now is the time. This is it. And this Kairos, appointed time for you is Kingdom Faith. I've been speaking to you about abundance and about harvest. We've been going through 5-year transition. This is coming towards the end of the 5th year. There's some stuff we've got to get in place as we come into the next 5 years. And this next 5 years is a year of fruitfulness and seeing everything that God has promised begin to be unfolded. And there's all kinds of things there that we're not going to go into this morning as such. But we're going to concentrate on what God wants to start with today. And we'll unroll some things over the next few weeks and what God is saying and how we need to move with him as a people in our lives personally, not just corporately. There's a personal application this morning that is really important in our lives as believers. But he began to talk to me. He said the enemy is wanting to cut off, and he's wanting to hinder, he's wanting to resist, he's wanting to stop, he's wanting to trip up, he's wanting to abort, he's wanting to hinder my purposes being unfolded in this whole next season and generation of time. And the Lord actually said to me, it's like the enemy has sent like a spirit that has tried to make Kingdom Faith infertile, to cause barrenness so that the new things I am birthing will be thwarted. The spirit is wanting to kill and destroy the next generation. Now, that's not just talking about age, but it's the next generation of time, the next generation of what I'm doing. And the enemy's been trying to kill off this next generation who are beginning to rise up because of what will lead, what this will lead to in the nation and beyond. If he can undermine leadership and if he can undermine the church and the people, then he will try and thwart the purposes that I am unfolding. But as you rise up and you take hold of my word and promises, the things that I've given you and declare, you take hold of them over your life and over yourself corporately. There's a new release of my spirit and therefore my life and power and fruitfulness that's going to follow and flow. From today, you are to see a release of new life into everything that I've called you to be doing and that you are taking hold of. My words are like a hammer blow to the enemy, pounding, crushing and cutting him off from any influence that he's trying to have over your life. Your words are ones of power and authority that release my purposes to be fulfilled. Don't underestimate the power of my word in your mouth. And this is a time of just rising up in a fresh way. And then this is, as we just read it for a moment. It says here, sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who are never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. And the word sing there means in the first verse to sing for joy, to sing aloud, to triumph, to cry out. Here's an action of faith here. If somebody who was barren was supposed to keep quiet. Somebody who was barren was shameful, was a disappointment to the family, and they were supposed to live a quiet life. Yet the word here is to the nation of Israel, but he uses the context of a barren woman. The word here is to, it says, look, don't live a quiet life. Don't live something that's just over there somewhere. I want you to begin to declare, sing over your life what I've called you to be. Sing aloud, triumph, cry out. But then it says, burst into song, to break out of restraint, break out of limitations. Begin to burst into song. And the word song there means to worship in such a way that it releases the power of God into the situation to bring change. That's awesome, isn't it? It's not just sing a nice worship song, tra-la-la-la-la. It's to sing a song. It's to worship the Lord in a way that releases his power to come into situations to bring change. That's why God has said, taught us to worship like we do. That's why we want to press further than we've been before. That's why when we come together, we want to be fueled up and ready to encounter God, to meet with God. Because what happens? It releases the power of God to supernaturally do things in our own lives. It releases the power of God to be released through our lives out to touch and transform everything that he's called us to be doing and the people that he's called us to be reaching. The worship isn't just for an experience in a building. It's to proclaim, to magnify, to lift up, to exalt the Lord, to encounter him, to let him come upon us, to for his weightiness to encounter upon us in a fresh way. Because God has called us to be a people to see revival for a generation. And that means we can't let up. We can't slow down. We can't shrink back. Because God has given us a mandate. And we've got to run with that. We've got to pray it in. We've got to pursue it in. We've got to proclaim it, sing it, live it, and work it out. But God wants a fresh encounter with every one of us in Kingdom Faith. Whether you're in this room at this moment listening to it because you weren't here for whatever reason, or you're watching on the internet, or you're related to Kingdom Faith in some way whatsoever as a church, as a leader, God wants a fresh encounter now with every one of us. Because we need to see revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society. And it means there's got to be a holy people at the middle of that, not a pious people, not a people that take themselves so seriously nobody wants to go near them. I mean, Jesus, in one sense, had the most serious mandate anybody could ever have, to go to the cross so that we could be saved. But yet he was the most joyful person in the process. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he saw the joy of what was on the other side of what the cross was. Burst into song. Worship in such a way that the power of God can be released among you and can be released through you. Shout for joy. Yeah, it's obvious what that means. Bellow, make a joyful noise. Triumph, that's what it means. Why? Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now, the devil wants to make our lives barren and desolate or infertile. And in this whole thing of revival for a generation, and today, now is the time. But then, read this, because the enemy is trying to thwart what is going on. If we read through, we're just going to read the next few verses. There's a lot in here that we're not going to talk about today so much. But I just want to read these few verses. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. We've only just begun. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. There's loads we can carry on reading. Now, we've had one generation of time as Kingdom Faith, and that has been a pioneering time. It has set a lot of stuff in place in Christendom, in a lot of many people have come alive in the things of God through the books and the teaching and the resources and the ministry of Kingdom Faith of Pastor Colin, and there's a whole history, there's a heritage, there's 30 to 40 years of just the richness of God unfolding and releasing His Word and His life and His kingdom that has impacted tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the earth. And we've had a generation of fruitfulness, a generation of pioneering, a generation of breakthrough, a generation of running hard with God, a blinkered generation where we're not going to be shaken or put off to the right or to the left, but we are running with the purposes of God. And as we come into this new generation of time, the enemy wants to cut off that heritage, that inheritance and that momentum. And he wants to restrict, he wants to abort, because what God is doing now, not just with us, but with the church in general, is he's transforming it, turning it inside out so that the life, the dynamic, the history, the heritage, everything that's gone before now is turned out towards changing society from a godless society becoming a God-filled one because of what God is doing. And the enemy is out to try and cut that off. And if somebody's barren, it's because their womb can't carry life. Even if something of life that is put into that womb, if it can't carry the life's going to die. And we've had a womb that has carried life for a generation of time. And in this new generation of time, this womb needs to carry this same dynamic of revival, life and faith and love and everything else that goes with it. But the enemy's wanting to make that infertile. And the enemy is wanting to, if we look at verse 4 here, he wants to make us afraid. He wants to cause shame and disgrace and humiliation in this next generation of time. He wants to say, that was great. But in this new generation time, you guys are never going to live up to what went before. You're never going to see those things, let alone anything more. So why don't you just give up now? Because you're going to be disgraced. You're going to be humiliated. You're going to be put full of shame because what went before had a great reputation. What went before looked this, that, and the other. But coming into this, I'm going to stop you. And the enemy's out to humiliate, to shame, to undermine, to pull down, to cut off, to abort. And it's like the womb is like the wineskin. And as we move from one generation of time to the next, the wineskin has to be what it needs to be to carry the life in the way in which God wants it to into this generation of time or this season. In some ways, the womb is the form of what things can look like, the expression of. The life can be the same. But it's what the womb is able to carry that will determine what happens to the life. The life that we have is the same as it was right at the beginning. This same life that's been released more and more. It's the same life that's going to continue past this generation of time into the next one if Jesus hasn't come back by then. It's the same life, but it's the womb. It's wineskin. And that is all of our lives individually. That is our life together corporately. See, as an individual, it's your womb carrying the life, this mandate from heaven that we have to see revival for a generation. It's the wineskin of your life shaped around the purposes of God as it's shaped around yours with God added to it. Is mine being like that? Is ours like that? And God is turning the heat up because he said there's something so significant that we're called to. And it's us grabbing hold of this. As he arrests us and grabs hold of us, it's us grabbing hold of him. And this morning we're going to shatter and take hold of and break, take hold of the way in which the enemy might have been trying to cause any barrenness personally in our lives, but also corporately in our life. God has been promising harvest and abundance and all of that stuff. Now, I'm not one to kind of look for the enemy under every stone and all of that kind of stuff, where it's like, well, you know, the devil must be here, or if this is not happening, the enemy must be doing something. You know, we are, it's a spiritual reality. We're in a fight. There is a battle. And sometimes I think the devil understands spiritual things more than we do. Otherwise, he'd only turn up once or twice a week and try and give you a hard time and tell you you're no good and you're not going to make it, or we are not going to do this out of the other or see this happen. He's on it all the time. He's on it 24/7 because he understands, he might not know exactly, but he understands God is on the move, and he understands what happens when a body of people get hold of God in a fresh way. He knows that he has absolutely no chance. He knows that he's going to be just run riot. He knows that he won't be able to do what he's trying to do. And so as he comes in his different ways. But we're rising up this morning and we're going to take hold of, there's going to be a death to barrenness this morning, and a death to infertility this morning, and a fresh release of life in your life, in my life, in our life together as a people for the purposes of God. There's a lot of other things in here that we're not going to go into this morning. We'll maybe look at these in the next few weeks as to what some of this actually means for us. But I'm not just talking about the next few months running up to Christmas. I'm talking about the next 5 years this morning. And where God is taking us in terms of abundance and fruitfulness. You want to read something out of a book, reading through this, or Jane and I are, we're sort of fighting over who actually reads it at any given moment. But there's a book called Land of Hope and Glory, and it's it's the history of the British revival through the ages. And it's linking together all the revivals that have happened in this nation. And just taking the key principles and various things. It's not going into in real depth with loads and loads of stories and all that, but it's got all the key principles and some key moments and stories. But I just want to read something to you. There was a guy called Hugh Bourne. Anybody heard of him? Have you heard of Hugh Bourne? Hugh Bourne was what was known as a primitive Methodist. Okay? And you know, obviously Wesley, the whole sort of Methodist, what is now a denomination, obviously came out of the revival, the Wesley revival. And this guy, Hugh Bourne, he kind of was in, you know, a Methodist church, part of the whole kind of denomination. But something began to stir in him. It was like, hang on a minute, we're not living in how this thing started. This thing started with a revival, in revival. This thing started, you know, with God moving, with all this stuff happening. And we're not seeing that now. We're not living in that now. What's happened? And something was, and he began to get before God and he said, God, there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with us. There's something not right with the church because we're not living in those things where the nation was being turned back to you, where, you know, and as he understood the things that were happening, he said, well, it's gone so far away from that. And now lawlessness and drunkenness and all the other things were now back on the rise. And he was like, God, where is this thing and that you were once doing? And he began to press in there with God. And then people began to get saved around him. He began to train people up. And and all kinds of stuff began to break out. And they became known as the primitive Methodists, because they basically, what they did is they said, we've got to get a hold of what God was doing then, not go back. But there's a dynamic of what God was doing then that we've lost. And it's like, that's the enemy's purpose. Listen to this. He said, born into the kingdom through the influence of the early Methodist writings, Bourne also carried their burden of evangelism. Wesley's burning torch for souls, fumbled and dropped by the second generation Methodists, was picked up by Bourne. He was inflamed with its saving message and sought to pass it on to all he met. Most pioneer moves of God are dulled and made impotent by the second or third generation. It is a sad but true fact that if you wish to find that which is really of God in a movement, you will usually only find it undiluted from the first generation. The succeeding generations, in the name of progress, often kill the very principles that birthed it, gave it life, and caused it to succeed. I read that and it's like, that is not going to happen here. Now, what has God been saying to us? There are three generations all moving together. It's not just we've had one generation, thanks a lot, goodbye. Here's the next generation, they're it for a bit, and then goodbye to them, and the next lot come up in a few years' time. God has been saying what he is doing now is crossing all of these generations and moving together. So we have the first generation of revivalists here. We have the second generation of revivalists here. And we have the third generation of revivalists here. They might not know it yet. But that's the call and the mandate upon our life as Kingdom Faith. And God has brought all of us together. So, but as we kind of move with the purposes of God, then it's like, I read that and I said, this is not going to happen. We are not going to have a barren generation. We're not just going to have unfulfilled promises from God that we don't see. And we look back, or somebody else looks back and say, well, they saw loads. What happened here? I hate the devil. We had an interesting conversation in this hotel room. We didn't have a conversation. I had a great time of kicking his head in last Sunday night and Monday in relation to some of this stuff. And you know when you're praying and God speaks to you and you know you've got to begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, something just comes upon you. And man, for I don't know how long, I hated the devil. I still do. But there was this just whatever going on for a while. And then taking authority over some of this stuff and breaking it over my own life, over our life. And just releasing the purposes of God and saying, we are not going to be held back in any way by any plans of the enemy. I know there's also practical stuff and other things, the wisdom of God and all that in there. But there's certainly one aspect that we're not going to make sure that we falter in. And that is giving the devil any room whatsoever to try and hinder what God is doing and wants to do. And so there's a rising up in us as a church, as a people, that God is stirring for this generation of time, not just for a few weeks, but for this generation of time. When you read through this book, man, it challenges you, because every step of the way, no matter what revival there was going on, the passion that they had for souls was incredible. It's convicting. And you can read stories here, and they've got some awesome stories. People that can't preach, can't even talk properly. I mean, there's one guy in this chapter, couldn't even put a sentence together in English because his grammar was so bad. And somebody who was a theologian guy, said, God can't use you because you can't even speak properly. Because you've got no grammar. And this guy who couldn't speak properly, he stands up in front of a crowd of miners and he begins to preach. And all these miners fall to their knees and they're weeping. And this guy's not even stringing a sentence together properly and he's preaching the gospel. And this theologian looks over at him. And the bloke says to the theologian, that's God's grammar. So God doesn't look for those that think they've got it all together. He's actually looking for ones that don't think they've got it all together. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking, man, I've not got it all together, God's jumping up and down going, brilliant! I can do something through that one because they don't think they've got it all together. They're the people I'm looking for because they're the ones that are going to say, God, I can't do it. And he goes, brilliant. I haven't got the ability. And he says, great. And some people say, I've never seen somebody say it through my own life. And God says, now is the time. Today is that day. Last week, we spoke from Numbers 20. And it said that the people were moaning, groaning, complaining. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. What did they do? They fell face down. And it said that God revealed himself. His glory came. That's what that means. He revealed who he was to them and spoke to them and told them what to do. Now, they didn't exactly follow through what they should have done the way they should have done it. But God revealed himself in that moment and spoke to them or did whatever he needed to do, gave them whatever they needed to do what they needed to do at that moment for whatever God wanted to do next. And there's a whole aspect for us as a people where every one of us, doesn't matter where you're at in God, how brilliant you're doing, how much you feel you might be struggling or whatever, every one of us, God wants a fresh encounter with. No matter how old you are, 13, 14, 80, 90, or in the middle. Fresh encounter with every one of us. Just the reality of who he is impacting us. The nature and the character of God impacting us. And that's then connected with what happens in here. About the souls of men. About a godless society being turned round. Another story, a bloke, there's in Yorkshire, there's a town called Filey, and all the people were saying, we've been there, nothing's happening, we can't seem to get a breakthrough, nothing's going on. And one of these guys in this chapter, I don't know what his name is, but he says, can I go there? Send me there. Send me there. God hasn't finished. He hasn't even started, but he certainly hasn't finished with it. So send me there. And so they prayed for this guy and sent him. And on the way, as he was walking down this road to Filey, he said he saw the town ahead of him. And he then went behind their hedge and he fell to his knees and began to cry out for souls, for the men, for the souls of men, for breakthrough, for God to invade. And I mean, it puts in the English of then what he prayed. I couldn't even understand it. I said, God, I'm glad you understood what he prayed, you know. But then it sort of put in English, this is what he prayed, you know. And while he was praying, somebody was walking past and they heard this guy crying out for souls. Well, he went there and he said that, and the glory of God came upon Philae and many souls were whatever phrases they used, you know, but basically came into the kingdom. But they used all these other phrases, wrought and all of that, whatever. And but basically, and I was challenged reading it. It's like, God, you know, do I contend for my life like that, for our life like that? Do I contend? This guy prayed for hours and hours for this. This is what he said. He said, I prayed until I knew I had the breakthrough and Philae was saved. That's what he said. He said, I prayed. And he was there behind this hedge for hours, it says. For hours and hours he prayed. But then he got to the point where he said, when God said that, I knew that I had the breakthrough and Philae was saved. It's like, God, I need that afresh. And so, I don't know, for me, it's like I've been getting before God like that. And I mean, I repent and said, God, I want to see people saved, but I don't want to see them saved like this guy does. I mean, this guy is like, he'd go behind a hedge for hours to see people saved. Another guy, before he would get up and preach to anybody, prayed for 6 hours. Because it was like, I don't want to get up in my own strength. I can only get up in the power of the Spirit. So everything of me has to die before I can stand up so that everything of him can come through to move in the people's lives. It was like, man, 6 hours before preaching, this bloke, Hugh Bourne, he would stand up with something in front of his face because he was so shy and embarrassed. He would stand and preach to the people like this. he'd have a bit of paper and he would hold it over his face while he was reading and preaching to the people because he was so shy. And that ruins all of your communication sessions. How do you need to communicate and preach and all of that sort of thing? Hi, how you doing? You know, all that. How do you need to advertise your ministry and sell your tapes and all of that? I don't know. Certainly didn't work. You know, they were just like, whatever he preached and Holy Spirit turned up, got everybody. That doesn't mean you walk around the town without, you know, and you go up to somebody in the street. Hi, my name's Clive. I'm from Kingdom Faith Church. Yeah, right. I'm not coming to your church. How you doing? But it's time, it's time, it's time. For you and for me, a fresh encounter with God, breaking barrenness over our lives, and to step into real abundance and fruitfulness that God has purposed and promised for a generation of time. There's a personal responsibility in this. And we're blessed with a corporate anointing. We're blessed with apostolic grace, with a breakthrough anointing to see all kind of things happen, a dynamic of faith and all of those things. But within that, there must be a personal carrying, a personal cultivating, if you like, of the womb in your own life, the spiritual, your spirit man, that is the womb that carries the life of God. What is the life of God? It's the Holy Spirit, but also the life of God is the word that he speaks into us. His word is living and active. It's alive. His word carries life. So it's not just the Holy Spirit in me, it's the word that he has put in me that I cultivate, that I make sure that my spirit is working with that. Like in 2 Corinthians 6, it's not that I've got some grace from God and it's just sitting there in vain. But actually, I'm taking hold of that grace of God that is at work in me and understand that now is the time, today is the day. Let me just read a couple of other things to you before we pray. You know, God was talking to me about this revival generation or for a generation. And, you know, I said to the Lord, what does some of that look like in practice, if I can find it? And one of the things God said to me, are people who are living to see revival for a generation, who have this spirit of revival in them, or are people who humble themselves in prayer, understanding that it is only the power that comes from God that can turn the tide of a godless society. That's why we are praying 24/7. That's why we have that prayer room up at Roffey Place. That's why we pour the stuff around the rooms, because God has called us to see this revival, this for a generation, seeing this godless society, this tide turn. And it's understanding that if we humble ourselves and pray, understanding that it's only the power that comes from God. It doesn't matter how good we are at this, that, or the other. You know, this guy stood like that, preaching to people. They couldn't see his face, but yet God moved. And in one sense, I know we don't want to be idiots and stupid and say, well, it doesn't care the way we are. We'll just be whatever and God will move. No, we're not talking about that. But it's not just being slick and this and that and the other. And if we get it all together, then the Holy Spirit's going to move. The life and dynamic of God is carried by you and me. We are the containers, the carriers, the vessels. The people who have nailed in their own lives that we're not here for ourselves, but for the cause and effect of the gospel. Not just the cause of the gospel, but the effect that the gospel then has in people's lives. The people who want to live holy and obedient, who say, how close can I walk with God rather than what can I get away with and still see what God wants to see happen? And there's a whole bunch of other things in here. Now, this morning, we're not just talking about becoming some bunch of weird people or suddenly becoming so spiritual we don't understand earthly realities and all of that. But there's the fire of the Holy Spirit at work in you and me that God wants to be stoked in each one of our lives. I would encourage people. Like that Monday for me, it was a day off. It wasn't, I used it as a work day. It was actually a day off. And so I went away on my day off. So I want to encourage all of you, take a bit of time and go somewhere where you can be on your own for a day. Don't go with an agenda, just go. If you can stay somewhere overnight, great, so that you can be first thing, or just get up early and go to wherever you need to go, where you're not going to be interrupted and all of that, and just go and just say, God, I'm here. I went with no, I knew God wanted me to, and I wanted to go as well. I knew God was going to speak to me, but I didn't start with, okay, I'm here, talk to me then, you know, about loads of stuff. It was like, God, you want to do something in me. I want something fresh to happen within me, to do something. I'm here for 36 hours, and there's loads of different things that happen when you begin to pray, you begin to worship, and, you know, all of that. But I want to encourage all of you, take some time out and go and spend a day with God. And let something new happen in you. Only He can do that new thing. We're going to pray now, okay, and take authority over a couple of things. But that does not do what I'm talking about, all of what I'm talking about, if you like, in the last 40 minutes or so. Because in 5 minutes of hitting the devil and just thanking God for a fresh release, there is that something happens. Of course it does. But that's not going to do what I'm talking about in that one moment. You've got to find the time. You've got to make the space. And I said to Jane the week before, I said, I'm going off on Sunday, you know, Sunday night I'm away, and I'm off on, I'm going to just, because I know God wants to meet with me, but I want to meet with Him, and He wants to do something in me. He wants to speak to us corporately and all of that. But you see, what happens is you begin to run with something, you begin to carry something, you begin to live with something. And it's like a fire that is on the inside of you, because it's not just come from the Holy Spirit. It's because He's spoken to you by the Holy Spirit through the Word, or through the Holy Spirit, or whatever, however you want to put it. It's not just an encounter with the Holy Spirit and you come away and say, well, what happened? What did God say? I don't know, but I had a great time. God's going to speak right into your life, right into the middle of that. And it's going to shape you, going to change you. The dynamic of what happens when we turn up on Sunday will be totally different if we all go and do this. So I'm not saying we're now going to have loads of revival meetings. Because we can have those and we could all turn up and half of us can walk out of the room no different than we did when we came in. There's something of a personal taking a hold of the mandate of God, the purpose of God for us corporately, but running and carrying that individually. It's getting away with your spirit man, with your wineskin, with your womb, if you like, and letting God just bring that alive in a fresh way. So that's part of the response from today. Find a day sometime in the next few weeks. When you've got a day off, you might have to organise it a bit, or whatever you do with the kids, or I don't know. But just make it happen. Because something will happen in you. In a way that just preaching on a Sunday won't. Why? Because God wants to change the world that you live in. Because He's put you there. And there's something of His life that He wants to break out of your life in the world that you're in. Something of God that is just permeating off you and through you because you've been with Him. Because you've encountered Him. Let's stand together. And we're going to just hit the enemy and deck him and sort him out. Mess him up. Are you ready? You know, I don't know. There might be areas of barrenness, you know, in your life in different ways. And we're talking about spiritual life here that has practical ramifications in our lives. You know, there might be a barrenness in your marriage. There might be a barrenness in your family. There might be a barrenness in another situation. And we're going to take authority over that and deal with it, crush it. It's like a hammer blow to the enemy. That's what we're doing now. But also it's linked with abundance and fruitfulness that God has been promising and speaking to us about in relation to the harvest, in terms of souls being saved And I'm not just talking about a little bit of evangelism. You know, we're talking about souls, multitudes, many, many people coming right through. It's putting an end to frustration. It's putting an end to this, that, and the other, okay, that tries to hinder and abort and thwart the purposes of God right now. Are you ready? Let's just lift our hands. Let's exalt the Lord first of all. Just exalt him over your life. Just proclaim him as the Lord, as the King, as your master, as your savior. Just thank him for his abundant, lavishing grace that he is, or his grace is lavished upon you, as it says there in 2 Corinthians 5. The work of the cross and salvation has been lavished upon us, that enables us to be sons of God, enables us to be in Christ and him in us, that enabled us to live in the fullness of who we are in him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Father, we thank you for the life and the power that is in your word. Father, we thank you for the authority that you place in our life, the victory that you have won on the cross, that then we can then see established in our life every day, that we don't have to be people who are running around the enemy, but he has to run around us because he has no way of getting in, no way of affecting us because of that bloodline that is around us, because of that that strong tower of who you are around our lives, that the enemy has no way in. So, Father, right now, we thank you for the victory in our own lives personally and for us together corporately. Now, we're going to take authority over the enemy. We're going to take authority over barrenness right now. So if there's any area personally where you know there's been barrenness, where life seems to have been cut short in some way, you might have felt like I've been going around in circles for a while. Well, today is the end of that. You might have felt like you've had some oppression or whatever. Today is the end of that. I mean, I've known some resistance. You know when the enemy's just having a go and you say, get lost, that's just rubbish. But then you know the difference between that and just a real resistance over a period of time where you're constantly having to rise above it, constantly having to draw on something. And it's like, I don't want to live like that all the time. I know the enemy resists us and that's a reality. But there's a difference between knowing he's resisting, but then feeling like you're under this heaviness or this oppression or this whatever all the time. And for me, that was dealt with last Monday afternoon or lunchtime when I was praying. It's like, it was like a boxing match with the enemy, but I was the only one doing the hitting. And that's what it felt like, just smacking the enemy. And God gave me one thing after another, one thing after another. Why today is the day of his favor and his salvation. And what then I was proclaiming, speaking and dealing with and just kicking the enemy into touch. So I want you to just take hold. You need to stand up in the spirit now. And say, all right, I'm not going to have any barrenness in my life anymore. I'm not going to have any infertility. The end of that is today. So just rise up right now where you know you've had any frustration, oppression, resistance, where something might not be going well in your marriage or your family or at work or something that's been going on for a while. Say, barrenness, today is the day where you stop right now. And I come against all of that hindrance of God's life flowing where you're trying to abort and thwart the plans of God in my life. And I crush you right now in Jesus' name. I step on you right now and stand on you. You are defeated and shattered and broken off my life right now in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to live under any of that stuff, but I declare victory right now into my own life, into my marriage, into my family, into this situation now in the name of Jesus. Now we're going to take authority over barrenness. Now, it's an individual thing, but it also is a corporate thing. Barrenness to do with souls being saved, to do with the harvest. Okay? And it's important because it's not just that we have a corporate thing going on and then an individual thing going on. It's not like corporately God's going to do this and we all look around and say, well, great, when's it going to happen? And we're looking for it to happen somewhere. Because corporately, the corporate thing is made up of many individuals. And so there's a personal application here that affects the corporate and is the outworking of the corporate thing, the body, life, and what God's doing. But then also there's something corporately that happens that can trigger and release something in you individually. Because we're part of this thing called the church, the body of Christ. And so we're going to take authority now over barrenness and over infertility in terms of souls being saved and then what comes, you know, in terms of making disciples. I mean, God convicted me. This isn't just about meetings for a minute, just to help you. But God really convicted me and he said, Clive, he said, you know, empty seats in your building is like an offence to me. It's not right. And he said, you need to be at the point where you need other meetings on Sundays because you can't get everybody in the building you've got in one go. And all of that, it's like, and I had to get on my face before God and repent. I mean, I want to see people saved and I talk to people and everything, but it was like there's a whole nother level of conviction and crying out to God till you get the breakthrough for souls. And it was like a love for souls. And so I've started, I'm not there yet, but I've started this thing where I'm getting before God and crying out. Because I said, God, I don't cry out for souls like these people do in this book. They are like that. Some of them may say, God, I can't go on living unless you give me souls. And I said, God, I'm not there. But it doesn't take long. Just begin to get before God and cry out to God. And God begins to do it. And I said to God, God, I can't even say that to you because it's not in my heart. I might want to see it, but it's not even in my heart to be able to cry out and say that to you. And so I began just to repent and ask God to forgive me. And he was talking to me and I responded. And gradually, just something began to stir in me. And I began just to put some words to God. It wasn't to that point of God. That point, you know, but it just began to say, God, work in me something new for souls. Work in me something for the souls of men, for people. In the way that you have such a heart for souls, that you weep over the state of our nation and our town and our community. And something started, something's beginning. I'm not there yet. I'm still in this process. And it's like, God, do something in me in a fresh way. So let's just take, well, firstly, I mean, there's lots of things connected here, but let's just deal with the enemy, all right? And just get rid of any barrenness to do with souls being saved. Whether we're cutting off the effect of the enemy in all this. You understand that? Come on, let's just rise up right now. Now you take authority over the enemy. You take authority over barrenness now. You might not have ever seen somebody saved. Well, that's fine. But today is the day of favor. Today is the day of salvation. We're not praying in relation to what you have or haven't seen. We're praying in relation to the word of God that he is speaking to us as a people. So I take authority now over barrenness, over kingdom faith, over us as a people in our life, corporately, individually. Where there's barrenness for souls and for harvest, I bind all that right now. I loosen the hold of barrenness and we crush you and stand on you right now because you are not our future. You are not our today. And so we cut off right now every barrenness, every infertility, every strategy of the enemy, every lie of the enemy, every resistance of the enemy, everything that wants to stop us moving into our destiny. We cut it off now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the release of your life in a fresh way. Come on, raise your hands now. Holy Spirit, I thank you for that release of your life, your power, your abundant fruitfulness in Jesus' name. For all of us, begin to see souls being saved and people becoming disciples in a way that we never have before. Father, I thank you that as each of us goes away for a day with you, that we encounter you, you and me with every one of these people in this place, Father. Something of the fire of who you are, of your spirit, would impregnate every one of these people, Father, in a fresh way. Do they come out of that room with you with a fire from heaven that is burning on the inside of them to know you in a greater way, to see your life released through them, to see souls coming into your kingdom in a way that we've never seen before. Father, I praise your awesome name. I thank you, Jesus. You're mighty, you're wonderful, you're awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't care what any other church is doing anywhere else, whether in this town or somewhere else. What I'm seeking to do is like, God, you've put a mandate upon us And I want to walk that out in obedience to you. No matter who else is doing, whatever else they're doing, however that looks or whatever it is. Father, we've got to stick to what you're saying to us, what you called us to. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. And God wants to increase a greater dynamic of love and faith and grace and joy and all of that stuff. His nature, his character, he wants to release more and more of who he is amongst us. But I'm not going to start picking holes and saying, well, we're not very good at that, so we need to see more of that. We're not very good at this, we need to see more of that. I'm like, Holy Spirit, you are the best leader on the planet. And you know from the heart of God how we need to move with you in any season of time, in any moment of time. And so whatever we're lacking and you want to increase in terms of who you are, then show us that. Work it, do it, show us. But Father, we can only do whatever you're showing us at any given moment. And what one of the things is to encourage everybody, go and spend a day with God. How do you do that? Go to a place where you're on your own. If there are some worship CDs that really help you to meet with God, then take those with you if that helps you. But just begin by just spending time worshiping Him on your own. Not just for a couple of moments, but just spend time worshiping, singing. Man, my voice is awful, mate, when I'm on my own, I tell you. I can just about get away with it when we're together with the music playing. But on my own, it's like, oh, man. But God doesn't mind. He filters that so that when he hears it, it sounds good. He puts a spiritual filter on it. Quick, Gabriel, go and tune him over there. It sounds pretty awful in his room, but just tune it. That's better. Thanks. I can handle that now. And just worship. Spend some time worshiping. Just go longer than you think. Longer than you think. Because there'll be some resistance. Oh, I'm going to need to sit down. I need to read the Bible now. No, no, no. Just worship. If he wants to speak to you, he's quite capable of speaking to you. Begin to show you stuff or give you some scriptures or whatever. He's capable of breaking in at any moment to let you know. As you worship, you might find, oh, I just want to get on my face before God. You might kneel. You might lie down. I don't know. If you're not able to do that, maybe just, God knows your heart. It's like, God, I just want to sit as if I'm kneeling or lying before you. But as you begin to spend time with God, he begins to speak. It doesn't mean you have to pray from 9 in the morning till 6 at night and constantly for that long. You might just start, and begin to worship and pray. An hour and a half later, you just feel right, I just need to have a cup of tea or get a cold drink. And you have a 10, 15 minute chill out where you just having a drink, relaxing, get a bit of fresh air, whatever. And then you come back and say, Father, I just want to come and spend some more time with you. You might want to fast, you might not. I didn't fast while I was away. God didn't say fast, so I didn't. I was hoping he wouldn't, and he didn't. I know when God's telling me to fast, and he didn't on that day. I was like, thank you, Jesus. But he might do. If he does, he'll grace you for it. But there'll always be some actions to what he says. There'll be some outworkings to what he says. It will change your schedule, change your prayer, where you are with him. Man, all this week, I've been buzzing. I've been like, this week I've been like, right, when can I nip off and just spend a few minutes praying? I mean, I've changed my schedule now in the week, my working schedule now, because of what God said to me last week and everything. It's like, right, I'm going to change it now. This is it. Let's get on with it. Because God wants us to respond quickly. When he says something, make the changes straight away. If you don't, you won't. If you make the changes, you then live in and walk in what God has said and you move into it straight away. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes a minute. There might be some people here today that you don't know Jesus and you've never met him before. You've never encountered him. You've heard people talk about him. You've heard of him, but you've never met him yourself. And God's heart is breaking for you. He died on the cross, and it says he became sin because in and of ourselves, we cannot reach God. It's impossible.
The God of the Bible is the only God. He's the only true God, but he's the only God that people talk about where God comes and does something for mankind because he knows that man can't reach him. Every other religion on the planet says that man has to do certain things to be accepted by God before God will do something, or their God, or whatever it is. But the God of the Bible is the only God, capital G, that comes and does something for us. Because we can't get to him in our own strength. He initiated it all in the first place by creation and creating man to have relationship with him. And we messed it up through sin. And God wants to deal with that cycle of sin that captivates your life, that holds you back from knowing him. And he wants you to come into relationship with him because that's what you're destined for, purpose for, shaped for, created for, to have relationship with Jesus Christ. To know him and to know him fully. And so if that's you this morning, I want you just to talk to the Lord where you are right now. It's called praying, but it's just talking to the Lord. Wherever you are right now, if you know, I want to give my life to you, I want to take this initial response and say, God, I want to take a first step in beginning to know you. How this guy's been talking this morning, it makes you sound so real, so tangible, so near, and he is. And firstly, I just want you to talk to him. Tell him that you're sorry for everything you've done. Say, God, I want to bring my life into line with you. I want to bring my life into order with you. Father, forgive me. Or God, forgive me right now for the things that have separated me from you, all the sin, all the rubbish that has separated from you. Forgive me, God. And as you do that, he begins to do something in you. He begins to forgive you and begins to clean you up. And then he wants to come into your life, but there needs to be your life to him, and he gives his life to you. And just tell him, God, I want you in my life. I want to know you. I want to know you for the rest of my life. And so I give you my life right now and ask you to give me yours. Come and live in me. Come and fill me with your life. Because my life does not satisfy me. But it sounds like your life can. I want to know you. Sounds like a big prayer, sounds like a lot of stuff, and you think, I don't know if I understand all of that, but you know your heart is going, and you're like, this is right, I want to know Jesus. Father, I thank you for any person that has responded to you today in that way. And I ask you that you just touch their life by your Holy Spirit right now. I don't know if anybody's responded to God, made that just initial step, say, God, I want to begin something with you and I want you to begin something with me. If you have, it's really, really important to talk with somebody afterwards. And we've got different people in the church here and they've got, these kind of red shirts with host team on. You can just ask one of them, or if you come down to the front, we'd have two or three people just over to your right here who would love to talk with you. If you've come with somebody, get them to bring you down to the front. It's so important just to talk and pray together with somebody to really surrender your life, to really give your life to Jesus today. Because you know there's something happening on the inside of you saying, yeah, I want this. And you can come right into this relationship with Jesus today. Thank you, Father. Let's just raise our hands, shall we? Let's all stand together for a moment. I know time's gone on, and I was hoping to be a bit shorter than this. But Father, I thank you for today and what you're sparking. Father, I thank you for every age group, from the little kids right through to the oldest person in the church. Father, I thank you for beginning something new and fresh today. Thank you that as we go and spend a day with you, you move powerfully in every one of our lives. You stir up, you deal with the clutter and the stuff that has clouded, the cobwebs that we've let get in, that you do a total spring clean in our lives and a fresh move of your reviving life and grace at work in us. Father, I thank you for people that are living on their tiptoes, on the edge of things with you because of what you spark and what you're doing in them in this coming week or two as we just set our faces to know you in a fresh way and then what is released as a result. I thank you, Jesus. Praise your awesome name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give a great shout of praise to the Lord, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.